Good morning. Welcome to Grace Point Fellowship Morning Worship. And happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you. Everybody, if you're with your mom and you're at home there with them, tell them that you love them and tell them that you wish them the best today. So happy Mother's Day. I love you too, Mom. You know, one of the happiest times for a mom or for a dad, for parents, is when our kids come home. And we're going to be talking about that this morning, about our kids coming home. Today is the second part of the series, Parents and Prodigals. I started that last week, and last week we discussed Absalom, the prodigal who never came home. Today we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 15, so if you would, get your Bibles, turn with us to Luke, the 15th chapter, and we're going to look at some aspects of the prodigal story that we know so well. I hope that we'll find a couple of new things that I believe will move your heart and lead you in a wonderful spiritual direction. We're asking the question this morning, can your prodigal come home? I'll ask that one more time. Can your prodigal come home? Let's review a bit about Absalom. We talked about him last week. And we're going to review just a bit about that. We discussed that he left home because of his difficult home life, that his father, King David, was a very terrible parent. And like many other prodigals, he felt kind of driven away from a dysfunctional family. He left thinking, well, I hate my mother, I hate my father, and I hate their God and what all of them represent. He just wanted to leave it all behind. You know, it's amazing how many prodigals are angry. Angry with their parents, angry with their circumstances, and they're angry with God. And yet some prodigals come from very fine homes. That wasn't the case with Absalom. He came from a very wealthy home, but he didn't come from a home that seemed to show much love. And yet some prodigals do. They come from very fine homes. They come from loving homes. They have so much love. They have so much care. They have so much good teaching, and yet they still become prodigals anyway. Something within them makes them think, hey, even with everything that I've got, something's missing. They think they've been cheated out of something, and they want more. They want the lure of the world, and the lure of the world definitely beckons to them. The Bible calls that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the way it was with Luke's prodigal, the prodigal son that we're going to read about this morning. He was from a fine home. He had a seemingly wonderful father. He certainly was very patient, very caring, and very helpful. But the lure of the far country got to him. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15 and read with me beginning in verse 11 about the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And then he said, Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose such a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine, the pigs. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now we come to the real crux of this story, because Jesus was telling this story to the Sadducees and Pharisees, who didn't like the fact that Jesus was preaching and teaching to the down and out. In verse 25, it says, "Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked, 'What are these things going on? What do they mean?' And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has been received safe and sound, your father has filled the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. And so he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who was devoured with livelihood, with harlots and with you, then you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he is found.'" Would you pray with me? Father, we're so thankful for your word. Would you help us, Lord Jesus, to not just hear, but to consume those words? Would you help us to take them not just in our ears, but in our heart? Father, that we might understand the nature of prodigals, and Father, that your nature is to redeem them and to bring them home. Thank you, Father. We ask your blessing today, especially on mothers, and we ask your blessings on the daddies too. And Father, families that are watching and listening to this broadcast today, we ask, Lord, would you help their hearts to hear your word and to receive your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, as we read this scripture, you know, our thoughts are just a little different than our Lord's. You know, God says that his ways are different than our ways, and they truly are, because as we read this story about a prodigal son that wanted to get his inheritance before his father even died, we think, man, what a thoughtless son, what a rebellious son, you know, what a cold-hearted son. He couldn't even wait until his father died to get his inheritance. He just said, "Give me what's mine. I can't wait," or I guess maybe it would be, "I won't wait." You know, he had what we call an illusion of entitlement. And it's a destructive illusion, that illusion of entitlement. And it's still going on today, is it not? It destroys people. It destroys families. And it destroys societies and even nations. You know, that thought that, well, I don't want to work for what I'm going to get. I want what's yours. I want what you've done. I want what you've made. Folks, God's word says that if we don't work, we don't eat. We shouldn't have a sense of entitlement to take what somebody else has. So we look at this young man and we see that he came to his father with a terrible sense of entitlement. And he said, "I want what's mine." Actually, he's saying, "I want what's yours." So heartbroken. The father watches him go. And the daddy knows with a broken heart what the far country is like. He knows the allure and he knows the heartache of what the far country is all about. Now, isn't it interesting as we read this story that there's no record that the father seemed to try to talk the son out of leaving? I guess that's because he knew that his words really weren't going to make a lot of difference. At some point, all fathers need to learn that our sons need to make their own decisions. And that's what this father did with a broken heart. He divided his goods. He gave one third to the younger son. Two thirds was going to go to the older son upon the father's death. But he gave one third to the younger son, which was the way that it was done in that day. And he gave it to him and he watched with a broken heart his son leave. Now, let's just go through some of the things that son did that we know took him in the wrong direction. He took the classical steps in the wrong direction. First of all, He went as far away as possible. The scripture didn't say that he went to the next town. It says he went to the far country. You know, he was going to go where nobody knows him, where nobody could be looking over his shoulder, no older brother, if you will, to nag him and say, you ought not be doing that. You know, you're a terrible son, but no older brother to get in his way and to wag his tongue at him. And, you know, that way he could do what he wants, and there was nobody there who knew him, nobody to condemn him, nobody to say, hey, you know, what happened to your father? What happened to your home? Listen, if you are trying to get away from God, if you're trying to get away from the Father, I'm going to tell you, it is always the wrong direction. The second thing that he did is he misused the blessing of the Father. You know, he spends the Father's money on reckless living. You know, whatever money can buy, he just got whatever he wanted, however he wanted, whenever he wanted, without thought. You know, the Father's blessings should be used to honor the Father, shouldn't they? If it's the Father's money, shouldn't they honor the Father? But instead, he uses them for selfish things and to do things that literally would hurt and grieve his Father. Listen, we've all been there, have we not? God gives us strengths. God gives us talents. God gives us health. God gives us money. And we use those gifts that God gives us, and we use them selfishly, and we even use them to sin against the Father. One more time, if you are misusing God's blessings, you're going in the wrong direction. The third thing that he did is he ran from his faith. He didn't just run from his father. He didn't just run from his home. He ran from his faith. Now, obviously, the scripture says that he spent all that money on riotous living. Now, you can certainly imagine exactly what kind of living that young man put himself into and through. But it wasn't just the riotous living. The scripture says that he wound up living with the pigs. And that's a clue, because you see, in his society and where he came from, pigs were unclean. They were physically unclean, and they were also ceremonially unclean. The faith that he grew up with said, don't go near pigs, don't have anything to do with pigs. And yet now, here he was living with pigs, eating with pigs. But when you get hungry enough, I guess you'll do just about anything to survive, even eat with the pigs right out of the slop pail, if you will. So stop for just a minute. I want you to take an assessment of you. I want you to take an assessment of your home. I want you to take an assessment of your faith. Take a good look around you. Are you avoiding your faith? Have you run from God? Are you getting away from what you know you were taught from the Word of God when His Bible tells you that you should seek the Lord with all your heart? Have you left the Lord God? If you have, if you're avoiding your faith, then dear people, I want you to know you're going in the wrong direction. Now, here's some good news. We know this, that even with everything that was going on, this young man was rude to his father. He was uncaring to his father. He left his father. He left his home. He left his faith. He went to the far country. He lived in riotous living. But the good news is that God's Holy Spirit was still at work, even in the pig pen. I want you to look with me. If you have your Bibles, look again with me at verse 17. Can you find 17? Look at verse 17, and it says there the very wonderful good news. It says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, yet I perish with hunger. Verse 17 says, he came to himself. He woke up. Listen, if you have your Bible open there and you have a pen or a highlighter, highlight that verse. He came to himself. Now, if the scripture says that he came to himself, how is that the Holy Spirit? Because I said, you know, the Holy Spirit was still at work there. You need to understand this. We talked about this last week, that it is only God that reveals his truth to us. God is the one who takes the initiative in our hearts. And God is the one who takes the initiative in our life. If spiritual truth is revealed to you, it's not you. God is the one who reveals it. So God is the one who woke him up as well. Now, I want us to take a little trip here in the scripture. Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 3? Just turn to Romans chapter 3. And we're going to read a scripture there, Romans chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 12. So Romans chapter 3, you find that with you. And the scripture tells us there in verses 10 and following, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks after God. They have all turned aside and they have together become unprofitable. And there is none who does good, no, not one. So the scripture is telling us that, we don't seek after God. After all, the scripture tells us that, the heart is deceitfully wicked. And even as we think we might be seeking God, we don't unless God first calls us. Now, turn with me to John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, we're going to read yet another scripture that helps us with that understanding. John chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 44 and following. John chapter 6, verse 44 and 45. It says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. And it is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So it's the one who hears from the Father. Now skip down to verse 64. He says, but there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe and who would betray him. Listen, the Lord knows who and what. But don't you know and understand that God's word says that none of us comes to him except we hear from the Father. No one has seen the Father except that he calls him. So scripture tells us that we have to lean on the Holy Spirit to come to him. And that's exactly what happened in that pig pen in the far country. This young man didn't just come to his senses. God's Holy Spirit pulled on his heart. God reminded him, I'm the son of a father who loves me. Even his servants are cared for. Even my daddy's servants are cared for. And at that point, he starts to begin thinking much more intelligently. He begins to remember, hey, my father is good. My father is loving. My father is caring. My father is forgiving. You know, that's what sin does to us. It makes us see things incorrectly. We see the world incorrectly. It makes us see our loved ones and makes them look bad and wrong when they're not. And it makes the far country look good, enticing, and caring when it's not. But praise God, when the scales fall from our eyes and our hearts are awakened, you can be sure that there are times in our lives when Jesus is praying for us, when we have gone to the far country, when scales have covered our eyes, and Jesus is praying that we will come to ourselves. And when this young man finally did that very thing, when he came to himself, he did some reasoning and he decided to go home. You know, I'm so thankful that Jesus, the Lord our God, knows what's ahead. He knows who are going to come to him. He knows who are there. And he prays for us. The scripture says he intercedes for us. And I believe that he's even praying for us now. When we get the scale on our eyes, when we go to the far country, and when we've turned our heart far from him, he's still praying and still asking and still moving for his Holy Spirit to move us, to call us home. Now, you know, there are many reasons that he could have decided to just stay in that far country. Now, the first reason is pride. He could have said, you know what, I'm just not giving in. I'm not going to be quitting. I'm not going home. He could have said, you know, I'm not going to go home. Instead of listening to the Holy Spirit of God, he could have just said, you know, I've got too much pride and I'm not going to humble myself that way. I'm just going to stay here and I'm just going to die. Won't they be sorry? Now, you know, he could have kept that hard and rebellious heart. I'm just going to suffer here and die. That'll teach him. Now, wow, what a lesson for us, right? That we would die to teach somebody else a lesson, or that we would go down so far that we would teach someone a lesson. Listen, let me tell you, I have this lesson for you today in God's word. Don't let pride keep you from coming home. Another reason that he could have decided to stay home was his shame. He could have said, you know, I squandered everything. I failed in the biggest way possible. And I'm just too embarrassed to go home. I just cannot stand my shame. And I don't want to face the shame of going back. I'd have to ask for grace. I'd have to ask for mercy. I'd have to beg for forgiveness. And I just can't and won't do that. But he didn't do that. He knew that he needed to humble himself, and he went home to tell his father, look, I don't even deserve to be your son again. I'm just want to be your servant. Then he could have just given up. He could have just said, you know what? I'm too far gone. There's just no way that I can get back. I just can't ever measure up to what my father wants. There's no use me going back. I just can't abide by his rules. I can't ever measure up, so I just quit. And you know, there's a lot of reasons that people would stay in the far country. There's a lot of reasons that prodigals would not want to return home. But let's talk about one that is probably one of the biggest excuses for never returning home. Another reason that the prodigal could have stayed away, and that many prodigals stay away today, was the older brother. That's the excuse for many prodigals today. I am not going back home. I'm not going back to that goody-goody brother of mine. I can't put up with his self-righteousness. He acts like he has never done anything wrong, and I am not giving him the satisfaction of wagging his finger in my face and wagging his tongue in my ears and saying, look how sorry you become. Now look at what you are. Listen, I'm not going to give him that kind of satisfaction of seeing me in that kind of condition. And one of the greatest problems with that reason is that it's true, is that it is so true. Don't we know it that self-righteous people are the hardest people to live with? If we return, we think, well, surely, my father's going to say, or my mother's going to say, or my sister's going to say, or my brother's going to say, God can't use you anymore. You're filthy. You are used up. You are worthless. You're good for nothing. You ran off to the far country. You ran off to New York, or worse, California. You've been living with the pigs. And we think, man, you are just not deserving of coming home. And that's what they think. We think, and they think that the self-righteous brother is going to say, don't you know that one of the most difficult things about coming back to God is that you have to put up with his other kids? Some people never come back to the Father because of his other children. I'm not going back to that church. Bunch of hypocrites. Have you ever heard that? Maybe you felt that. And I'm going to tell you, you know, it is true that we all have sin in our life. And we are all, in some way, at times, hypocrites. And we think, you know, if I go back to God, I have to go back to those people. And I don't like those people. That's a terrible thing to have to understand. And we as God's people, we as God's church, have got to get our hearts right so that those who need to turn back to God won't use us as an excuse, but they will come home to God knowing that God loves them and so do we. Did you know, and I want to remind you, that the elder brother in this story is actually the heart of this story. Just prior to this scripture, just prior to this story, Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees for condemning his attention to the down and out. That's in chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. And he told them there, he says, you criticize me for welcoming sinners. You criticize me for eating with drunkards and by teaching prostitutes. Listen, you criticize me and you condemn me for connecting with those kind of people. He asked them, why are you not rejoicing that they too are coming to the Father? All you can think of is, why do they deserve God's love? Why do they deserve God's grace? Why? I've been in church for how many years and look what I've done. And we don't get that kind of blessing. We don't seem to have that kind of ability to return to God. Listen, although the older brother had everything, he was still a slave to his legalism. His father tried to tell him, listen, my son, you can have a party anytime. You are always with me. Listen, he says, I always have you. I can always throw you a party. But your brother was dead and now he's alive. Your brother was lost, but now he's found. But he was a legalist. And legalists are never free to truly live. They are never free to truly forgive. And the actual focus of this parable was not on the prodigal son. And sometimes we even say that it's, the focus should be on the loving father. But the brother that would not forgive is the focus in this scripture. As you go back and look at chapter 11, when Jesus Christ told them, he says, what is your problem? Oh, dear God, please never let it be an indictment against us, against our church, against God's church, that they would have such a self-righteous heart that we would not receive sinners back into the fold. You see, the bottom line is this. For every prodigal needs to remember and needs to know this final resolution, that the Father is waiting for you. In spite of what his children do, in spite of the way his children act, God is waiting for you. God says, I have made provision for you. I want you to come back home. I sent my son to die on the cross for sinners. So if you will receive my son, if you will receive my forgiveness, if you will receive my transformation, I will accept you back. All the reluctance is yours. Jesus took sin from us and gave us life. That's how great the love of God is. He took our bad, he took our sin, and he gave us life. Any reluctance, any stubbornness is on your part, not on God's. God is gracious and God is merciful and God is waiting for sinners like you, sinners like me, to come home to him, to return to his comfort, to return to his blessing. Let me ask you a question. Do you agree that God wants every prodigal to come home? Does God want every person to repent? Is his word right when it says that he wants all to be saved? If God does, then so should we. And when God moves hearts in the pig pen, we better be ready to help restore those who come home. We better be ready to receive the one whose God's Holy Spirit has convicted and brought back home. When God brings them home, our response should not be, what are you doing back here? Why is there a party? But instead, our response should be, what can I do to help you come home? What can I do to help you be received back into God's love and grace? Let me close with this thought. Here's the critical point of our Lord's parable. With God's prompting, prodigals can decide to come home. But in order for you to be properly received, or for a prodigal to properly be received home, those at home must be right with God. To all parents, to all brothers, to all friends, to all pastors of prodigals, you must prepare your heart for your prodigal to come home. You must be right with God. Otherwise, you might be exactly what is keeping your prodigal from returning home. You may be standing in the way of your prodigal from coming back to your home, to your house, and even to God. Why would any child want to come home to a critical, judgmental, condemning parent, to a critical, judgmental, condemning sibling, brother or sister? We have to repent of our own sin and get our own hearts right with God in order to be able to welcome our prodigals back home. Friends, life is a mess in the far country. But even if you wasted all that he's giving you, God wants you to come back home again. He wants to bless you again. You know the rest of the story. We saw that he said that there was a celebration when he came home, that the father ran to meet the son. He didn't even get all of it out to say, I don't deserve to be your son. I'm going to be a servant. For the father kissed him and said, I love you. Bring a ring, bring a robe, bring some shoes. Listen, did you know that God's angels celebrate even one sinner's return. God's word says that, that his angels celebrate your return. Has there been a time in your life when you were saved, when you gave your heart and life to Jesus Christ, but perhaps you've backslidden? That means that you're a prodigal. Have you never trusted God? That means that you're a prodigal. Today is the day that he's calling you home. You don't think you heard this message by accident, do you? Did you know that God's Holy Spirit was reaching out to you? Maybe what you see is not a pig pen, but maybe what you see is definitely a place away from God. You're in the far country from the Lord. You're in the far country from your family. God loves you. And I want you to know that this message was preached specifically for you. Dear friend, hurry back to the Father. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we ask that you would touch the hearts of our prodigals and even our own prodigal hearts. Lord, call us home. God, would you help us to overlook the nagging of the wrong brothers and sisters, the nagging of Satan that would say, you're not worth it. God doesn't love you. You can't come back. Father, help us to hear your word that says that you receive the humble. Father, that you would forgive all those who call out to you. That if we ask for forgiveness, you will give us forgiveness and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, I pray that if there's even one, would you help them to call on you now to say, God, forgive me. God, restore me. God, I want to come home. Father, help them to call on you and help them to come home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is my hope and prayer that if you prayed that prayer to come back to God, to receive him for the very first time, that you will let us know. Would you give us a call at Grace Point Fellowship Baptist Church? We would love to hear from you. Or you can send us an email. You can send us an email at info@gpf.church. info@gpf.church. Or you can go to our website and you can hear more sermons. You can hear more about our beliefs. You can hear more about how to get in contact with us. And our website is very easy. It's GPF, that stands for Grace Point Fellowship, gpf.church. Let us know, won't you? Happy Mother's Day. God bless you. I pray that God is doing wonderful things in your family. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.